Hi there. Welcome to the Flight Risk Studios podcast show. I'm your host, Robert Bruton. What is today's date? It is March the 21st, 2024, and we are just flying through 2024. It seems like, golly, we're almost at the end of the first quarter of this year. So that's, I don't know about you, but it's a damn year's moving by pretty quick. So anyway, I hope you're having a prosperous and fun new year. And I was going to talk today a little bit about a book that I wrote called Mastering the Art of Me. And I just really wanted to touch on some highlights, and I encourage you to go get this book on Amazon. I think you would enjoy it if you're struggling and need a little help with your life. I think this is a good book to help you figure out what you want to do with your life, as I have been on that path for some time now. And so, you know, when you can, it's easy to get lost in the chaos of modern life, you know, struggling to find meaning and purpose amidst the madness, you know. And I think we all struggle. It doesn't even necessarily have to be a chaotic world. I think we all struggle from figuring out what's my purpose. What am I here to do? And so I want to give you some ideas to kind of get that ball rolling and figure out what you want to do. And there's some liberating things that you can do that I want to share with you. And I'm not going to give you all the secrets. You need to go buy my book, but come on, I'll get you started. And so anyway, you know, you can go through a lot of shit in your life. And I think we've all been there in some shape, form, or fashion. Something's happened that has affected our life in a meaningful but painful way. And so couple things here that I think can give you some immediate hope. Okay. One is, you know, are you doing exactly what you want to be doing in this life? We'll start with one side of the street here, and we'll kind of move over towards job and stuff like that. But right now, let's talk about just, you know, are you satisfied with where you are? And as everybody knows, Glitzy and Crummy share the studio with me. And so I think Glitzy is telling me it's time for a cookie. So hang on two shakes. I'll be right back. And of course, that's what it was. They both wanted a cookie. So Glitzy and Crummy are both here today, and as always. And so anyway, we are always excited to have them on the show. All right. So anyway, getting back to where we were, you know, here's a way that you can kind of look at things is ask yourself, what would my life look like if money, time, knowledge were not the issue? If I could do anything in the world, no matter what it is, what would it be? That there's not anything standing in your way. Because let me explain to you that when you think of things that way, you know, I don't know from day to day where something's going to manifest itself, whether that's money I need for this or that. I don't think any of us do. You can have a regular Joe job, but you could also lose that regular Joe job tomorrow. And, you know, with the ever-changing economy and all those type of things, then, you know, you can have your life turned upside down here pretty quick. So, you know, take some time. Pray on it, meditate on it. You know, another thing that you that really is something that you can do that is when you identify what it is you would like to do, okay, then let's talk about how you can start clearing your noodle, you know, because what really inevitably happens is there's so much bullshit running around in our head that we can't figure out which way to go. Because, you know, I wrote an article that one that always stands out to me, and just it, the title, and I called it When Silence Screams. Because you can be sitting with yourself and your head's just screaming, you know, your mind's just screaming at you, and you can't seemingly get it to shut up. So I'm going to share a couple of secrets on how you can shut up so that you can, you know, if you decide you want to do something different in your life, you know, you want to write a novel, you want to become a photographer, you want to become a social media influencer, you want to become a world famous speaker, you know. You know, I don't know if anybody, if you is listening, has ever watched a young woman named Jen Gottlieb, but damn, she talks about manifesting and how she does it, and she's a hell of a resource. I mean, you know, one of the things that I think we have to do as humans and things is, you know, I'm sitting here talking about in hopes that I'm doing kind of my own little book review of my own book and telling you a little bit about it and what prompted, and I'll get into what prompted me to write it and how I got inspired to write it. But, you know, there's, you have to draw an arrow from your quiver that, you know, that you're going to have many arrows. Okay. So me trying to, block you from information because I want you to buy my book is stupid. So I want you to find me a good resource, and I want you to find my colleagues and other authors and other speakers and other folks that you know, if I can share with you, because a lot of people go, who? Jen who? I mean, she's a comer, she's pretty big, and but she's a pretty amazing woman. And you might, for those of you that are dated like myself, you know, she was on VH1 at a point in time in her life. She was doing a heavy metal rock show, and you know, some cool stories from that, and she's just a good person, a good well-rounded resource for someone who shares, you know, how you can change your life and how you can empower yourself to move forward. So if you don't know who she is, just look at her on Instagram, TikTok, YouTube. You can find her anywhere. And I think, yeah, no, she does have a book out. So anyway. All right. Well, so getting back to, you know, silence the screaming in your head, you know. When silence screams, if you can learn, and this is the way I did it. Okay, I'll give you a little step-by-step thing on the best way, because I'm telling you, this is absolutely, bar none, the most powerful tool that I possess and that I think anybody could possess, okay, is being able to sit down. And so what I do is I get on my bed, for example, or I sit in a reclining chair, or I sit in some very comfortable position, you know, and a lot of people say when you're meditating, you know, you need to cross up your legs and do all that, you know. No, be comfortable, okay? Don't, you know, you don't want to get a muscle pull or a muscle cramp or your butt start hurting, and then you just lose the focus and nothing happens and it gets frustrating. So be comfortable. So what I do is I lay on my bed, typically about 100% of the time. I'll lay on my bed and I have certain music or sounds that I have in my phone, and I put my headphones on that block out the ambient noise in my room, whether it's the AC, outdoor noise. I mean, you guys can hear coming through this microphone. You can hear the dogs walking around. You might hear the trucks blowing by on the highway out, close to my home, and that type of thing. Because it's a it's what I get for buying a really good microphone, I guess. So anyway, I find that playing that music or those sounds, it could be rain, ocean waves. I use Dr. Wayne Dyer. He has a YouTube video called I Am, and I'm not going to get into the whole I Am process, but there's a thing to I Am, okay? Because that's the name that God gave to Moses as his name. I am that I am. And so he talks about that, because Dr. Dyer got really spiritual at the towards the end of his life. He was an incredibly spiritual person, and he was really, he talked about the Tao. And when you read that, it's amazing. There's a lot of really cool stuff that he talked about, but he got amazingly spiritual. So, and meditation for him was a big part of his life. So what happens is that you okay, so you put your headphones on and you get the music or sounds going, okay? And you just learn to relax your body. Just let your arms relax by your side. Let your legs completely relax. And focus in the beginning on your breathing. Just learn to regulate your breathing in through the nose and out through the mouth. And when you start, you want to take some cleansing breaths, some deep breaths in through your nose, and some exhales out through your mouth, maybe two, three, four of those. Deep, 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 out, 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 deep, 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 out, out. And get your heart rate down and just get in a relaxed state of mind. And then once you do that and you kind of can focus, and what helped me kind of focus and realize that I was breathing okay was to leave my hand on my belly and feel myself breathing, or put my hand on my chest where I could feel my heart rate and feel it slowing down. And that just kind of helped me know that I was okay. And then I could put my arms by my side and I could keep my eyes closed. And I usually do this in a very dim lit or dark room. And it just, this is the way I do it. You can do it any way you want, but this is the way I do it. So, and it works. So then as you breathe, you begin to relax. And then you just kind of let your mind begin to, for a time, you can focus on the sound of what's coming through your headphones, and just kind of let that help relax your body. Focus on the sound, and it becomes incredibly deep, is the best way to put it. And so you're listening to that, and then you're just kind of letting your mind wander. Do the best you can to just let your mind wander. Don't worry about what your kids are doing. Don't worry about what, for me, it's my animals. And usually what's funny is Glitzy knows when I'm gonna, for you fur baby mamas and daddies, Glitzy kind of knows, and Chromie does too. Chromie will come in and he'll lay down at the foot of my bed, and Glitzy gets up and she kind of gets beside me, and then I can tell that her and my breathing kind of get in tune. And I think instinctively she knows what I'm doing, and they stay very calm, and they don't, you know, they it's pretty cool, because I honestly, and call me kooky, but I think they feel that spiritual connectedness in the room. So anyway, and as you let your mind kind of wander and relax, and you know, you just focus on your breathing, you know, as you get more relaxed with that, then begin to put out in the universe, begin to open your mind on what you want, what, you know, and you'll be surprised at how many ideas will manifest themselves in your head, you know, and how much you will get clear and clarity on what it is you're doing or what it is you want to do. And the other thing is when you do these things, your stress level is going to go from being on the moon to being in a manageable orbit around your head. And then you're going to find, and what I found, and I hope you find, is you're much more relaxed in tense situations. You're much more open to receiving information into your head from your subconscious. Your dreams become more lucid. And for those of you that, if your dreams start becoming more lucid, let me just tell you, get a, and it can, it doesn't have to be a specific dream journal, but if you can get a dream journal, get a dream journal, but write down your dreams. If you wake up, I don't give a shit if it's 3:42 in the morning and you just had some really incredible lucid dreams and you remember specific things in the dream, write them down, because I swear, I promise, you will not remember when you wake up later. Or you will remember, you'll go, now what the hell was I dreaming again? And I don't give a shit if you're 20 years old, 18 years old, doesn't matter. Write it down so you don't miss anything, and then get yourself a good dream dictionary. And I use Dr. Barbara Condren's dream dictionary. You can get it on Amazon. It's really good. She's with the School of Metaphysics and in Missouri, and I actually went to their school in Dallas and for a time, and it was really great, and we learned about dreams and how to interpret our dreams. And they too are a good resource, especially for dreams. And so, and then figure out, you know, because a dream is always about the dreamer, okay? And it's never about anything else but you. And so it can be very telling. You know, a lot of people say, oh my God, people got killed in my dream. Well, or I got killed in my dream. Well, it's not as bad as you think. It's not as bad as what that sounds, okay? That's your subconscious absolutely just flushing out of you something that needed to go away. And it may take you some other things in your dream to figure out exactly what it is, or you may know exactly what it is. You're letting go of something big. Just like it depends on what level. If you're in a house, are you in the basement? Are you on the main floor? Are you upstairs? All of these have dream symbols that mean something. So do that. Because for me, it really opened me up to have memorable and lucid dreams. And it helped me. Sometimes when you have, I had dreams the other night, and there were three ducks in my dream. And I'm like, what the, you know, I wake up and that hit me so hard. And so I looked up what do, you know, I think I actually Googled it, you know, in a dream, what do three ducks standing side by side mean, you know? And part of the interpretation was that there was getting to be ready to be changes that I was going to accept into my life. So you gain so much perspective through the act of meditation. I didn't dream during my meditation, but it's things where I've learned how to slow my mind down enough where, you know, have you ever had that thing? I just, you know, I can't think straight. Everybody has said that at some point in time. And you may be saying it all the time right now. God dang it, I just can't think straight. I'm so mad. You know, well, through meditation, and it doesn't have to be anything fancy. Lay on your bed, get comfortable, put some headphones on, get some sound of some sort that's uninterrupted, no commercial break stuff, and relax your body, relax your mind. Give yourself that gift. You can find that time. You may want to tell your significant other, your spouse, you know, go to your man cave while I go in the room and I need to meditate for 30 minutes or 45. Or learn to simply do it with your partner. Maybe just hold their hand, put, you know, you put your headphones on, I'll put my headphones on. We're going to set a timer for 45 minutes. You do your thing, I'll do mine, but we're going to do it together. And just hold each other's hand or cross over arms or cross over legs or whatever you got to do to get into a comfortable situation where you can just be you, be present in the moment with yourself. And I promise you, you will find major change in your life in pretty damn short order. And what got me through doing this was when, and for those of you that are longtime listeners or old, I'll call you old-time fans, people that have been reading my books for years, know that what really got me started doing that is that I was at a very much black breaking point in my life, going through, at the time, a divorce that I positively did not want and thought my whole world had come to a bloody end, that the woman that I felt like for a bajillion years was my absolute soulmate was now gone. And it wasn't my choice. So through this, so if you're going through a major breakup, if you're going through, you know, you have a shitty relationship or whatever, I can tell you that this made me understand that I'm okay me. In fact, now I would say I'm a better me. You know, as difficult and as much as it hurts, and I won't lie, I think about her quite a bit. Not every day, but I mean, you know, like right now, it came up. That wasn't part of my show notes, this part, but it's good to the story because that's kind of where all of the meditation part of this, where I learned how to master the art of me, began. Was I had to figure out a way not to feel like my entire life was over. And what point was there? And I got to that point in a major way during that time. And if you read me, and if you follow the podcast, if you especially the early day podcasts, if you read some of my early on articles, you'll know that these are things that at the time I wrote about quite a bit and talked about quite a bit. So I won't get into all that because we've already crossed that bridge. So you can go through devastating loss You can go through a shit job. You can go through something where, you know, like this last year, for example, as most of you that are regular listeners know, that I lost my sister Deb to breast cancer. It came on and it ravaged her body so quickly that within just shy of, I guess, 60 days, she was gone. From the time that I took her to the doctor, because I finally just said, you have to know my sister. She wouldn't go. I mean, the woman could break her leg and she'd want to just, you know, well, you know, let's just put some tape and gauze on it. I'll be fine, you know. And so it was a struggle to get her there. It wasn't that hard, but it was still a struggle. And it just went fast. And so I think that honestly I was able, because I have learned how to quiet my mind in the sense that I'm able to find moments where I can find peace in solitude, I guess I don't ever really get where it's totally silent, because I'm always listening to something. You know, the rain helps wash out the static, I guess, in my head. And so it helped me get through that time and be grateful for the 5 years, almost six, prior to her getting sick, that she and I were totally together. I mean, you know, she was living with me. We were, you know, I think God blessed us with that time. And I think it was able, through the things that I had learned, that I was able to focus more on the blessing that I had, where these last few years had been more special to both of us, you know, than any other time in our life, you know. And it left me with a very fond memory. You know, there's a gaping hole in my life, because all of the things that you're used to with, like, researching my books, photography, documentary film, all that stuff involved her, you know, and we worked closely together. So there's a big void in my life. So I have to use the skills that I've learned in order to make my life what I know that, you know, she would be looking down and saying, I'm glad you're doing that. Because the last thing that she would ever want, and this is something I had to share with my mother, the last thing that Debbie would ever have ever wanted was for us to mourn her to the point that we became where we didn't function. And that could have been real easy, because we had gotten, you know, just we had gotten super close, and working together intensified that, because we had this, you know, we were able to really bounce ideas and creative process together, and we were in tune, and that made it really cool. So, you know, it's amazing though what a gift meditation and learning how to quiet your mind will give you as you're mastering the art of yourself, as you're mastering the art of me. What makes me me? So, kind of recapping a little bit, you know, that finding that where, you know, sitting down and going, you know, what would I do if money wasn't a problem? That forget that, take the, if you've got kids, bills, doesn't matter, take all that shit out of the equation. Yes, it's there, but what we're doing is we're putting it over here for just a minute. We'll go back to it. It'll be safe. You can leave it for just a minute. and say, okay, well, if none of that was there, time, money, knowledge, you know, we put the how over here. What we're looking for is the why. What is my why? What would make me get up in the morning and go, man? Or at the end of your life, you look over at your spouse, your significant other, your wife, your husband, and you can look at them and go, wow, that was a ride. That was a ride. You know, and it takes some real time to develop this to a point where if you do have a significant break in your life, hence what I went through with my sister, you're able to deal with it. Hang on, I'm kind of trying to get something to pull up here. I want to read you something in it because I don't want to butcher it because it's important. Oh, here we are. And this moment that you're taking to figure out, you know, your why, what your real why is. Don't worry about, you know, I'm too old, I'm too young. Take all that shit out of the equation. That's not the damn question. The question is, if none of that shit was there, what would you do? Well, I'm too old to do this, I'm too young to do that, or I don't have the education. No, stop. Identify it, okay? Because this quote that I'm about to tell you is from a woman named Irma Bombeck. And for those of you that are young, she was an author, and she was kind of a, she was a, how should I put it? She was the, she wrote a couple books that were just absolutely hysterical. If you're a woman, I'm telling you, if you're a mother or a grandmother, you should read Irma Bombeck's books because you will laugh your ass off. She was a regular on Good Morning America. A lot of the time she was always a special guest on Good Morning America, and she, her satire, her comedy was spot on, and it was always so amazing, you know, just went in. So anyway, a quote that this is truly my, if I have a favorite of all time quote, this is going to be it. And I quote, "When I stand before God at the end of my life, I would hope that I would not have a single bit of talent left and could say, I used everything you gave me," end quote. Irma Bombeck. And that is absolutely my most favorite quote, bar none. Is I want to be able to, because so much of my life was spent chasing a life that I forgot to have a life. Well, that shit ended 7 years ago. Because today I'm learning how to live a life that I want to live. And I'm learning that when I take out fear, meaning I gain the knowledge necessary to feel like I have enough knowledge to achieve a certain thing, a certain task, a certain whatever. Okay, when you do those things, you know, it becomes amazing. And these are all things that I write about. I write about, you know, knowledge and courage and what it, how, you know, knowledge equals courage. knowledge equals courage. So when you're fearful of something, so if I put you on a set of skis at the top of a hill and I said, okay, point your skis down and go, bye. But if you had the knowledge and the skill to ski down the hill, and I put you on a little steeper hill than what you were used to, but you wouldn't be as afraid as if I stuck you up there and you didn't even know how to put the boot into the binding on your ski. I had to show you and then pointed your skis down a hill that looked like it was a straight shot down to your imminent demise. But if you know a few things and you have that knowledge, then all of a sudden you say, this is more than I've done, but I'm not afraid. Might have a little bit of, you know, fear that, you know, this is, and healthy fear is healthy fear. But you can do it. Because you have the knowledge to do it. Debbie wasn't afraid when she was dying. You know, we had talked way before she ever even knew she was sick. And she told me, she said, you know, because she became a devout Christian woman. And she goes, you know, what's amazing to me is the peace that I feel knowing that I'm not afraid to die. Because she had built up enough knowledge that she knew that this wasn't the end. That her spirit was going on to the next place, her next journey, her next path. And she was okay with that. And she told me that way before she ever knew she was sick. The reason that these things come out to me is because I think it in hindsight, you pick up moments that in and of themselves were moments. Absolute moments. So, you know, it was cool to have experienced that with her and to recognize where we were at that moment. And I didn't know that I would be talking about this today. So that's, you know, with that run around your head for a minute. You know, and the thing that when you're mastering the art of you, you know, you have to ask yourself many, many questions. Is, you know, if you're in a toxic relationship, friend, lover, whatever, you know, gain the knowledge that you need in order to divorce yourself from that situation so that you can feel empowered to make that decision. Misery loves company and it's going to fight to keep you there. So that's what I mean when I say knowledge is power. Because not everybody that's with you today is going to be with you tomorrow. I wish I could say that was my quote, but it's not. I've heard it several places, but it's pretty poignant. The people that are with you today are not going to be the people that are with you tomorrow. Some may be. Your kids certainly will be. But not everybody will be. So, take some time to go through some self-transformation. Give yourself that gift. It's not hard to do. And the reason that things are hard to do, and the reasons that you suck at it to begin with, is because you're a beginner. Remember that. There's beginner, intermediate, expert. It's just like a ski. It's just like when, and I ski, so that's why I'm using so many ski analogies. You have the bunny slope, you have a medium intermediate slope, and then you have expert slopes, black diamonds. And you'll get to where you can ski black diamond, but you're not going to do it the first day. You're never going to do it the first day. So don't give up. It may take some time, but give yourself that gift. The hell else have you got to do? Well, I just don't feel any change. Okay, well, meditate on it. Why don't you feel change? Are you consistent? Are you actually not stopping and going, oh crap, I need to do this, I need to do that? It's like I always tell everybody who I, in a big setting, you know, in a talk, I'll say, when you sit down to do this, go pee before. It's like telling your kids when you go on a road trip. All right, has everybody gone to pee? Okay, get in the car. Mom makes sure everybody went to pee, so we don't have to stop, you know, 3 miles down the street in some nasty ass gas station because we're not at a Buc-ee's yet. So make sure that you don't have any interruption. When you have kids, I realize that's a challenge. When you have a baby, I realize that's a challenge. But do you have a friend? Your spouse? Your mom? Your dad? Your in-laws? Your sister? Your brother? That could you say, you know, if you sat down with someone in your family that you know, moms are always a good choice. And you sit down and you say, hey, look, this is something I really need for me. I really, 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 really need this for me. Will you help me? And just for 1 hour, watch the kids and have them leave me alone. Or, you know, just watch the kids while they nap and I'm going to go do my meditation. And even if they don't understand why you do it, just say, look, I don't need you to understand anything other than this is really important to me. Will you help me? Moms will help you. So, you know, even a good girlfriend, a good, you know, a sibling, cousin. You know, sometimes you have to really impose upon someone, but really, how much of an imposition is it to say, hey, can you help me for an hour today? And all you got to do is just, you know, play games with the kids, play video games with the kids, watch a, you know, a movie with the kids, go outside and play with the kids, whatever it takes. Is there a drop-off daycare? The greatest thing I ever found in my whole life when my kids were littler was, you know, a drop-off daycare where you could just drop them off for an hour or two and, you know, where a mom and dad could go have a date night. And the kids could go do something that was social and fun. My oldest loved to go to the drop-off daycare. He thought it was cool as hell. So there is a way, is my point. Goodness, excuse me. You're going to have storms, and sometimes they're going to be big ones. You can get through them. I have. And I can tell you what makes it easier today than any other time in my life was knowing how to simply quiet my mind for a minute. Take a chill pill, as they say. And it's easy. Lay down, put your music on, or your noises, and just breathe. And you'll learn over the next times. There's a reason that they call it a meditation practice. There's a reason they call it a yoga practice. This is not yoga, but it's meditation, but it's, you know, they're in the same family, if you will. There's a reason that they call it a practice, because it's constant, you know? And maybe you have to find that time after the kids go to bed. Maybe you have to find that time after or before the kids get up. There's a way. Always. Always, always, always. So, begin that journey today. Now, take some time today to write down what you would do with your life in all aspects of your life. You know, if you're single and you want to manifest a mate, meditate on it. What would you like that mate to be? What would you, how would you share your life with this person? How would you add value to the person's life? How are they going to add value to your life? Meditate on it. See what happens. Want a new job? Okay, well, figure it out. What do you want? Well, I can't make as much money doing what I want to do as I could, you know, being in this dead-end job. So my question to you would be, basically, take Martha Stewart, for example. Everybody knows who Martha Stewart is. She bakes a damn cookie, okay? She cooks shit. So how much money can you make baking cookies? I would really throw you to YouTube influencer Rosanna Pansino and say, go look at her account and what Ro does. And she has a baking channel and does baking cookbooks. She lives in LA in a huge mansion. She makes HBO specials. She, you know, all from where was the beginning? She loved to bake. She loved to make cupcakes. She loved to make cakes. And from that, look at how it grew into something that is a entertainment powerhouse. Not to mention the fact that she's just a sweet kid. So you can take the most, what you could arguably say, how much could you sell a cupcake for? I love to bake. You know? How many cupcakes is it going to take for you to replace your income? Well, then get creative. Let people watch you cook these things. Learn how to do surprise things, you know, bake up a whole bunch of stuff and go surprise a bunch of firemen. Put it all on YouTube. Become the fireman cupcake lady. What I'm saying to you is, where there's a will, there's a way. You don't know until you start trying. And people are going to, you're going to have naysayers. Okay, great. You don't believe I can? Well, I believe I can. So when I fail, you can laugh at me, okay? Shut up for now. Because I'm not going to fail. Anybody that would tell you, you know, well, I'm going to, you know, at some point in time, I'm probably going to tell you, I told you so. pretty shitty thing to say to somebody, in my opinion. But you'll have it, sadly. And it may come from people that you were like, wow, didn't see that coming. You know, there's times when I don't know where things are going to come from, and I have to remember to stay in faith. Excuse me. So the book talks about in chapter 1, Lost in the Darkness, chapter 2, The First Steps. And one of the things that you'll notice about me as an author is we're going to jump in. I don't sit here and tell you my life story, what got me here. No, we're going to jump in with, so you're never going to have all that. If you want to know my life story, then reach out to me and I'll, you know, we can share an email or something. You know, I don't mind people knowing, you know, I grew up in Ruidoso, New Mexico. I was born in Roswell, you know, all those things don't bother me. A big thing for me in the book was chapter 3, which is turning the ship around. When your ship is going in the wrong direction, how do we turn this big son of a bitch around? Without, you know, and what's cool is when you're turning that ship around, you're going to dump a bunch of shit off your boat that doesn't need to be on your boat. Learning how to weather the storms in chapter 4. Chapter 5, learning how to reignite the inner light. And for those of you that are older and set in your ways and just think that, you know, life is where I'm at. I'm at where I'm at. I can't, you know, I'm not going to change now. Well, don't do that to yourself. What was it? And I don't know why I'm thinking so much of Martha Stewart, but Martha Stewart didn't even start really doing much in her career until I think she was 52 years old. Before she really started doing something with her lifestyle channel. You know, so reigniting the inner light. We talk about that in this book. Finding balance amidst the chaos. You know, if your life's in chaos, which for most of us, life gets there. You know, we have to learn how to find balance. There is a difference between activity and productivity. And you'll learn it. And you need to learn it for all aspects of your life. Once you learn the difference between activity and productivity, that's a success key function. You can say, oh God, I'm so busy. But if you sit down and you journal for 2 days, what you do hour to hour, be honest with yourself, because it's not a test. You don't have to show yourself. You know, well, you know, I spent an hour and a half on Facebook. I spent, you know, this on YouTube. I did this. But if you weren't doing it, if it was just for entertainment purposes, that's activity. Productivity is banging out a chapter on your book. Activity is going out and taking pictures of a subject that you're going to publish. Filming B-roll for the film you're working on. Working on your recipes. Whatever it is, that's productivity. And appreciating the journey. Learning to sit back and go, this was a ride. You know? A lot of times, you know, writing it down a little bit, journaling it about it a little bit. You know, especially sharing it on social media. That's a big thing. You know, if it's something that where you're building a brand, for example, share the journey on your social media. Sometimes, you know, you can say, boy, today was a bitch day, you know. And then learn how shining your light into the world so that people can see is a good thing. And you learn to choose growth in every aspect of your life. And I'm telling you, it will be life-altering and life-changing in the greatest of ways. And it's, on occasion, going to sting, and on occasion, it's going to hurt. You're going to want to give up. You're going to want to say, you know, this is too fucking hard. I'm just, you know, I'm done. I can remember times where I was screaming and beating my steering wheel and screaming at God, going, what the fuck do you want? I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm, you know, I pray, I do all these things, and nothing, not one fucking thing changes. You know what? Sometimes you just gotta let that shit out. You just gotta let that shit out. Sometimes it gets down to total surrender, and that's kind of what where I was at. Was total surrender. I'm like, I can't. This, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing wrong. I don't know what, you know, and I can't. So it becomes surrender. And that becomes the point in time where you just have to say, I got to have some faith. I got to believe. And I'm telling you, when I made those decisions, and after those decisions, we're pretty big. I'm going to share one thing with you, then we're going to call the show a day. And I've told this story before, but I think it hit my head just right now. So back when I very, 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 very first really started trying to do all these things and started writing and started really getting into it. So, and I was going, it was deep when I was going through my divorce. And so I decided, and that at some point in time in all that, I had moved out to start staying with my sister, you know, because everything had just gotten to be chaos at where I was living, and I couldn't do it anymore, and I just wasn't making any headway with anything. So I was doing little dabby things, and I was trying, and I was, and I'd had a couple moments where I had been going to church because I was just trying to find a connection to something. I wasn't finding it in my job. I wasn't finding it with friends. I wasn't finding it anywhere. And so I would go and I would sit through two services. They had three services every Sunday morning. I'd sit through at least two. Sometimes I sat through three, because at that time I had to do that. And here's the quiet your mind part, because my mind was racing so bad, I couldn't tell you half the shit he said. Pastor Don and I became friends after a good while, but, and this is a big church. And so I would sit through his services, and he was known for being very much a Bible-based church. You know, he was a big church, but he was very much set in the Bible, which appealed to me. And so anyway, I had a couple of the moments where I was hitting my steering wheel and screaming in my car and screaming in the pillow and just, you know, kind of like, you know, couldn't really figure out a way why it was even necessary for me to be on this earth anymore. Couldn't give you a good reason for that anymore. And so one day, and this is what I'm talking about when you have to have faith. One day I'm sitting in church, and I've had done. And so they had an altar call. It's where you give your life to Christ. Well, I had done it before, you know, a couple decades ago, you know, and I guess for my entire life, if you could call me a Christian, that's what it would have been. And so I sat in the back by myself. Nobody knew me from Adam in that church. Not, I never, you know, if you said hello to me, I'd say good morning, and that would really be it. I wouldn't stop and engage. I wouldn't hang around. I wouldn't drink coffee with everybody. I wouldn't do nothing. I would go in, out, and I was done. And I would normally sit towards the back. So they do the altar call, and they go through the whole thing, and the girl brings me my CD as they give you something, you know, what's next and that kind of a thing. And so at the time, I didn't know him, but Pastor Don starts walking across the stage, and I didn't know the man from Adam. I'm in Odessa, Texas. Didn't know the man from Adam. And he stops walking. When he stops walking, he turns around and he's kind of got this bewildered look on his face. And he goes, sir. And I really wasn't paying attention at that moment because everything was getting ready to change. The service was getting ready to change. And so I wasn't paying too close of attention. Then I realized, you know how you have that moment, me? You know, yes, you, sir, you. And he told me, he said, I just had this overwhelming spirit run across me and God telling me that whatever you're doing creatively, you need to keep doing it. Freaked me the hell out. Doesn't know me from Adam. I've never lived in I dated a girl in Odessa, Texas when I was a kid because I lived in New Mexico and they would come skiing. So I had a girlfriend that lived in Odessa when I was in high school. And that's the closest I had ever gotten to high school was, you know, having a girl that lived there, or having a girlfriend that lived there. And I had been writing a lot at night when I got home from the job that I was doing. And man, it hit me like a ton of bricks. So I think it came from that surrender where I was just like, what do I do? Where the hell do I go? Well, God answered me in a huge way, freaked me the hell out and said, you know, you need to do what you're doing. Shut up and keep doing it, you know. And that was amazing. And I'll never forget, we were at a Christmas thing, and I'm going to cut it off here, and Pastor Don came over to me and he asked me, he said, hey, Bob, how are we coming on the book? He said, I know you wanted to put your first one out this year. And I said, and he said, or, you know, at the first of this year. And he said, did you get your first one out? And it took me like a second pause. And I go, you know what? I didn't really realize it in this moment until you asked me that question. And I said, yeah, no, I did. I didn't do that. I published seven. I put out seven books. And it was a little over a year. But I got completely prolific in writing. And have since written many books. If you go to my Amazon author page, you know, there's a lot of books there. You know? And because I love to write. And it's a wonderful thing for me. So your life can change when you learn how to master the art of me. So I hope you'll give it a look. I hope that this podcast has helped you in some way. And I really appreciate everybody listening. I appreciate the lovely notes that I get. If you follow the our link in bio, it'll take you where you can go to my Amazon author page. You can see our YouTube channel, our X channel, I write articles just about every day on X. I have a news channel and then just my own. And so I've got working on two documentaries right now. So those are in pre-production and coming along nicely. So any old way, I, again, love you guys. Appreciate everything. And hope that you'll continue to listen. This is Bob Bruton with Flight Risk Podcast, and I am out of here. Bye for now.